Welcome, everybody, to CMC Radio. I am your host, Rob May. With me today, joining us again, is Amity Buxton of the Straight Spouse Network. Amity, how you doing today?
Pretty good.
Great. It's great to have you back.
Thanks.
All right. So why don't we refresh everyone with a little bit about yourself and how it came to be, your story and how you got to start the Straight Spouse Network.
All right, I will. Now, I started in this little New England area where we were mostly concerned about, we revolted against the Great Britons and, patriots and all that. And then I moved to New York and went to a little school in a very exclusive neighborhood. Then I went to college and met my first black person and my first Jewish person and so forth. And, wow, my world opened like mad. When I decided rather than write, where I would not earn anything, I better become a teacher. So I went to get training at Columbia University and got my first job teaching in Detroit. I got off the train in Detroit on Labor Day, and there were all the unions talking about freedom and so forth. I thought, my goodness, it's a whole new world. Anyway, that led to my becoming a union member, led to my being very active in the 60s with civil rights. And then I got married, and after 25 years, my husband announced that he was gay and had been gay and jilted his gay lover to marry me, but felt he had to since he was a good Catholic. So
right.
There I was, thrust in another cultural maelstrom. And so I left my work, which was training teachers for desegregating schools, to found a network for the spouses of gay and lesbians and bisexuals and transgenders who finally have enough courage to come out in the marriage. And the straight spouses are sort of left individual flotsam, invisible flotsam.
Right. And that's the website for the organization is straightspouse.org.
Correct. And it's in the process of being kind of redone, so don't make any judgments, but there is information there.
No, no judgments at all. It's quite an extraordinary site that offers a great amount of insight to the situation at hand here.
Well,
So why don't you share with us then, the mission of the Straight Spouse Network? What would you say the unified mission is?
Okay, there's a threefold mission. One is to be there for these straight spouses who really go into their husbands or wives' closets. They, for one thing, they don't want to expose their partner's secret, have them lose a job or get kicked out of church or all that sort of thing. So they go into the closet, and nobody really understands their side of it. Everyone's happy, and they should be, because the gay people have come out, but they don't understand the devastating effect it has on the straight spouses. So our first mission is to provide a place where they can feel people understand, where they can heal, they can develop understanding, and reconstitute their lives. That's the first thing, is the healing and support. Second big mission, though, is education and communication. Doing what you're doing right now, interviewing me, so that people outside of the straight spouse world understand what they're going through and what this says about families and the society and so forth. And then education. So I do a lot of research. I've done, I don't know how many journal articles on all aspects of this, because many therapists and clergy or professors don't know the singular issues that the straight spouses and the kids face. So that's the second one, communication education, which I call outreach. And then the third big mission is building bridges so that we work with any like-minded organizations to help raise public awareness of this whole situation and bring about equality in our society.
Sure. Now, when you say like-minded organizations, can you clarify that for our listeners?
Sure. I mean, there's always been gay organizations, but then there's also parents, families, and friends of gays. I mean, the parents and families and friends of gay people. They're a huge national organization. Then there's Collage, which are children of lesbians and gays everywhere. And so they're the children. And we're the straight spouses. So also there's a huge thing called the Gay and Lesbian Task Force, and I recently organized a conference in Denver on our issue. They're change agents, and so they help to bring about change for not just gays and lesbians, but all minorities. And so that's what I mean. Any other organization working for equality and justice across the board.
Right. And then in terms of, helping people to find other outlets or avenues of assistance, do you put them in touch with psychologists, psychiatrists, and such?
We don't as an organization, but we have 57
okay.
support groups across the country. And so if, let's say, you come to a support group and say, hey, I really need a therapist, someone else
right.
over there will say, I've had this experience. So it's person-to-person, peer references.
Understood. And I know from last episode you did mention that there are international systems in place to help people across the world.
Well, we are. This is a worldwide
right.
network of with spouses in Australia and England and Canada and Mexico, Israel, all over the place.
That's tremendous. So for your own part, what are some of the common questions that you see or that you hear or that, from your own experience, too, that you endured and had to kind of overcome?
Well, the main thing is, what's going on? What happened? How come I didn't know? What's wrong with me? That's really, it's a lot of self-blame early on.
Sure.
What did I do to make him turn to a man or her turn to a woman? And then, what do we do? Can we work together? Can we stay together? What about the kids? And in a lot of cases, the spouses have sort of accommodated as they've gone along, not realizing it, to this hidden thing in their partner, and so they kind of lost their concept of who they are. So their identity shattered and all that. And I can go into that another time, but it's just to find somebody else who's been there. I'm not alone.
Absolutely.
I'm not crazy.
Absolutely. And what are the best ways in for your own experience that you would say to try to overcome these feelings? How did you find your identity again?
Well, by talking with other spouses. Mm-hmm. Who are on different stages in their journey. And I myself, I had to go do an awful lot. I went to all kinds of spiritual, religious kinds of workshops, Native Americans, Buddhism, consciousness raising, all kinds of things, just to see, to find some meaning and purpose in life and figure out who I was in this crazy spinning world I found myself on.
Absolutely. And how long would you say that it should take the average person to kind of reach that?
Well, there's no shoulds involved, but it usually
okay.
takes at least 3 years, if not six.
Right.
Because first you have to sort of find yes, there is solid ground under my feet, and yes, I am a person, and I can breathe, and I can walk. And then you, little by little, you work through all the big, big questions about the marriage. Can it last? And
right.
what's going on? And what was it all a lie? And all that.
And so would you say there isn't an exact process to kind of enduring and overcoming?
There is an exact process. It's having the courage to face what's going on,
mm-hmm.
and then accept it. Okay, this is my new reality. And then let go of the old stuff you thought you had, and then start looking at rebuilding, reconfiguring who you are and your moral compass. One of the biggest things here is that you have trusted somebody and that you have feel terribly betrayed. So you have to reconstitute your own moral compass, and that takes
mm-hmm.
and trust people. It takes a long time to start trusting other people. And then finally, to sort of put together your own philosophy of life, your own belief system, so you'll have something to go on. So that's why it takes a long, long, long time. And if you find a peer support group through the Straight Spouse Network but just happen upon somebody or there are contacts, you can talk with them on the phone, just to have someone say, oh, yeah, that's where I was, and this is what I did,
right.
And just take them, you know, walk along with them. And then if family and friends can at least listen, that's a huge help.
Absolutely. And do you think that it's become easier for people to come out in situations now as opposed to years ago?
Much easier. And there's probably less underground going on, less doing stuff on the sly. But
right.
I don't know. I really don't know. I think 20 years from now it will be a different picture. But right now it's still happening because we have, Rob, we have these conservative pockets in the United States. Look what's happening in Indianapolis.
I know. Sure. Absolutely.
And they don't want this to happen. So why would somebody say, oh, I'm gay, well, I'm going to get married?
Right. Very true.
Because they, you know,
now,
the gay and lesbian husbands and wives, they're good parents. They're happy. They're not unhappy in their marriage. They're just in the wrong relationship.
Right. And it's basically out of, I would guess, a fear of people's perceptions of them.
Mm-hmm. And losing their
sure.
jobs or being kicked out of church or being shunned in the neighborhood or not being able to go to the local bakery and buy a cake.
Right. And that's very unfortunate. That's true, though. Yes, absolutely correct. So let's talk about marriages then in these situations. When they ask, you know, can the marriage last or how can this possibly exist, what do you typically tell people or how do you assist them in that?
Well, so I'll give them the figures, and I'll say in most cases they break up right away because the gay or lesbian has somebody, or the bisexual or the transgender has somebody on the side. They want to get moving, or the straight
right.
spouse is so aghast or angry, says get out. That's about a third of them, roughly. Then another
mm-hmm.
third think, well, maybe we can make it work. We have a close bond. We have our kids. Let's see if we can make it work. And after about a year, they, no, I guess I can't. Another third say, no, we really are going to make it work. And they develop a kind of mutual respect, mutual compromise, work on it. And about
mm-hmm.
half of them, meaning a sixth of the whole, are still together after 3 years. So they have very good relationships. I know lots of couples that are happily together. Sometimes they're open, sometimes they're celibate, sometimes there's the gay husband has somebody called,
right.
it's a closed loop relationship, somebody he is only with, and the both wives know it. The marriage is the primary relationship, and this other relationship is secondary, but they all respect one another.
Mm-hmm. And you say, what's the percentage behind that?
Probably a sixth.
Okay.
Meaning, yeah, probably a sixth. It's hard to know. I mean, I've
right,
been in
of course.
Touch with 20,000 spouses, and even the big surveys done of this, not everybody wants to talk about it. We really don't know.
Of course.
But that's a rough figure.
Right. And would you say then, in terms of that, I mean, because that sounds kind of complicated, but I guess that's just one of the ways that people would just try to save it, right?
They work on it. It's more building. It's not what they do about the relationship. It's how they develop mutual trust, mutual
mm-hmm.
respect, working it through. And the support of family and friends is very, very important to them.
Absolutely.
Whether or not they have a partner depends on that particular person. The celibate couple I know are just so happy together and active, and they're loved, just a lovely couple you'd love to know.
Right. And it's in the saying of love will overcome, it really holds true there.
Well, in some cases, let me read you something here.
Sure,
from
absolutely.
A guy who's wife came out, and she was having a terrible time because she was Christian, and she just said, I can't be Christian in this. And so finally she decided she wouldn't be a Christian, and that would give her freedom to decide what was next. And then she decided maybe she'd be bisexual. Then 2 weeks before he wrote this to me, he said, well, I was away on work, The shame became too much. She devalued her life to the point where it was more than a burden on the world than a benefit. And without a hell to be afraid of anymore, death was the best option. So she figured, she had to weigh whether to be a wife and mom that committed suicide or one that was gay, and she chose suicide. Well, her friend figured out what was happening, came up to be with her. She finally came out to him and said, oh, okay, I'm gay, our relationship is over. And he says, we'll make it. We're not going to be the same, and I'm brokenhearted. I've never sobbed as an adult, but find myself doing it quite often. It would have been easier if she'd cheated. I could hate her, try to punish her. But more importantly, I believe she's a good person and cares for me and the children. This isn't something she made up. It isn't something that had been cured with counseling or a pill. It was a last resort. She had two choices. I'd rather have her as gay than dead.
Wow. That's pretty powerful.
That's why it's in my book. I just blew me away.
Absolutely.
And it illustrates how deep this is. Because the core
yes.
of the other person isn't what you thought, and the core, not that being gay is the core, but that's the core around which you build your self-concept.
Right.
And he's straight, and he said, I'd rather have her gay than dead.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, and it's amazing that first off, that someone is willing to give you, you know, that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So they must feel super comfortable around you, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one of the things that's so important about the Straight Spouse Network. With peer supports and peer support groups, you get together once a month or more often, and it's just private, it's confidential, and you get more and more open and relaxed, and people help one another, and you bare your soul. Nobody criticizes you for it. Nobody
Absolutely.
Tells you what
and,
to do. They just listen.
And what was that reading from? Which one of your works was
that
from?
That was from Unseen, Unheard, Straight Spouses from Trauma to Transformation. That book takes things that I've gathered from emails or speeches or emails on a public list or emails to me from over 5 years from men and women whose husbands or wives came out as gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender. And so the book takes them from those first cries of pain and disbelief through making choices, through deciding what to do, through eventually they're being transformed into new people. As one of them says, not victims, but victors in our lives.
Right. Absolutely. And so who are the other people affected in this situation? I mean, you know, I can only imagine what would happen when children are involved.
Yeah, with the children, it's very hard, particularly if the children are in churches or schools or neighborhoods where being gay is
right.
not the best thing to be.
Absolutely.
So, but the main thing to remember, and which is hard for the straight spouse to handle, is that the straight spouse may have lost a husband or wife in this, but the kids haven't lost a parent. And so the straight spouse and the gay GLBT spouse co-parent, and so they need to both be there, have the kids realize they're still loved, they're still cared for by either both parents, and if they divorce, as most do, they'll be safe and secure and loved in both houses. And in addition, after what we try to suggest is that it's better if both parents tell them at the same time, so the kids
right.
can see the straight spouse is still there and there's not any finger pointing. And then the parents be there and say, you know, we're here if you have any questions, as they will later, and help the kids deal with some anti-gay stuff they may hear. For instance, that was one story. The kids said, oh, no, they're saying complaining about you, Dad. And the mother says, we'll just say to that person, hey, you're talking about my father.
And so what are additional issues that might arise? So, I mean, what can children, I mean, because obviously you're a child, you don't know, first of all, you're just forming your own, sexual identity.
Well,
so what kind of issues
you're talking now about adolescents, but the little ones don't know that, and they're just going to be upset by the family breakup.
The separation, sure.
Yeah, it's only when they get pre-adolescent that they start doing the sexual thing. And if they can, parents can possibly get the message through that it's okay, it's natural for some people, because some of those kids are going to end up being gay.
Absolutely.
And they're going to, with parents accepting it, they'll have a much easier time than their parent who had to wait years to have enough courage to face it and come out.
Right. And typically, though, I mean, do you find that, you know, parents that have either come out or have, you know, the straight spouse is saying, you know, my children, they don't know what to do now, with their other parent that is gay or lesbian at this point. They just don't know how to handle it.
Well, the point is, it's still the parent. They being gay is a side issue.
Right.
Now, they'll feel uncomfortable when the gay father starts dating and they have to meet his new boyfriend. So the straight just has to help them say, this is what's happening, and we still love him, he's still a good parent. And but the street spouse, meanwhile, is hurting,
mm-hmm.
and has to learn just to accept this is the new reality,
right.
and understand and forgive. Forgiveness is probably the hardest thing to do. It's just to forgive, not forget, but forgive. What's done is done. We have to move on, but it takes
Absolutely.
A long time. I make it sound easy. It's not.
Right. Well, and I'm sure, you know, as with just the straight spouse going through their own feelings and emotions, they probably then have to take on that added process of trying to get the children to understand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they're feeling
right.
angry, but they don't want the kids to get angry at the other parent, because that's not good for parent-child relationships. So they have to swallow a lot. It's very hard. It's very, very
sure.
hard. This is where, if there are grandparents involved, they can be a huge help. But they're dealing with some of the grandparents. The parents of the straight spouse are angry, and the parents of the gay spouse don't know what to do. It's very complicated. But the thing about the straight spouse network is there's a peer support group you could bring all these problems to.
Right.
And somebody will relate to it, or somebody will suggest something that she read that was helpful. So it's just that peer support of someone who's been there and can identify with your feeling.
Absolutely. And I mean, obviously, from the scope that it appears that you guys have, you know, reached across at this point, that things are definitely serving its purpose. It sounds like the Straight Spouse Network is definitely doing a lot of good for people.
Yeah, that's what they say. That's what the spouses keep coming back and say, thank you, you saved my life. I thought I was at the end of the rope, and you helped me rebuild a way to move ahead. And oh, yeah. And I think things like this blog radio have been wonderful, because we seem to be getting more people finding us, which is really wonderful.
Perfect.
It's such a
hidden
topic.
It really is. I got to be honest with you. I mean, before our shows and our meetings together, again, I was not oblivious to this situation, but it didn't hit me as much as now each time that I speak with you. And I got to ask too. In terms of children developing anti-gay and lesbian attitudes, do you see that happen? Do you hear people come to you, saying, "Hey, my child is saying this, that, or the other now"?
No, not necessarily. They pick it up at school, wasn't ingrown.
Right.
We try to get both the spouses and the spouses to get their kids to think in terms of the behavior, not the orientation.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad is neglecting us. Well, that's a problem, but it's not because he's gay.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
We try to have them just criticize what they're doing, not who they are.
And really, the focus should be on that. It should be, you know, how they treat the child, or how they treat each other, basically. As long as there's love,
yeah.
it shouldn't really matter who's doing what.
Yeah, And any of the bad stories you hear, you hear them in divorces, one parent accusing the other of doing this, this, and this, and so forth. You know, that's, those are typical divorce problems. And so we try to say, okay, guys, in this case, it's even harder for the kids. So try to at least have an amicable front when you're with the kids.
Right, of course. And so I do want to touch upon this. Your first book that you actually authored was called The Other Side of the Closet.
Mm-hmm.
And does that cover any of what we've been speaking about in this episode?
Yes, it does, but in a different way. The Other Side of the Closet was the first book, and the first edition was done in 91, and then I added the chapter on the children and more about bisexuality, and had it, you know, the expanded edition in 94. That book I interviewed a whole bunch of people, and hundreds across the country, found through a therapist whom my therapist had known, and I had them just ask, I asked them very simply questions. What happened? How did you feel? What did you do about it? Well, my background in research in my PhD is phenomenological research, which is what you get all this stuff, and then you analyze it to see patterns. So I got all these interviews, and I read them, and I sorted them out in order to identify what are the key issues that bother straight spouses. What are the key issues that they have to work through in order to move on? So I came up with the six of them, the first one being I get them very confused. Just themselves,
right.
And the marriage, and the kids. Just the fact of the coming out, the marriage and the kids, the very things that you and I just talked about. And then the more complicated issues are their own identity and self-concept, their own moral compass and integrity, and their own belief system or philosophy of life. Those the six things just really, really, really just engross them. So that one woman, the minute she heard, she just curled up in a fetal position in her bed for 3 days because she just couldn't face it.
I can imagine.
Unreal.
I'm sure the shock when that hits you is pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so where is The Other Side of the Closet available for people to purchase?
Well, both of them are available through Amazon, and there's a new publisher of The Other Side of the Closet, but bookstores ought to be able to get it.
Oh, great. So Barnes & Noble's or something local like that for people?
Yeah, Barnes & Noble should be able to order it, and Amazon online. Now, I made a mistake a minute ago. I was... Your question threw me for a minute. The first issue is a sexual mismatch.
Okay.
Their sexuality feels damaged. Wasn't I enough of a woman? Wasn't I sexy enough?
Mm-hmm.
What does the man have that I didn't have, or vice versa?
Absolutely.
So the sexuality, the marriage, the kids. Those are the first three issues, sexuality, marriage, kids, and then the identity, integrity, crisis of faith.
And these are all available. Both books are available at Amazon, or possibly we can have people look up on Barnes and Nobles and such.
Yeah,
great.
Amity,
I got to say, we are actually running out of time.
Oh my
gosh! This episode flew by. Fascinating stuff though today, as always.
All right.
And I do want to say that the website is the Straight Spouse Network, straightspousenetwork.org. And if you have any questions or comments, Amity, you know, if there's any other contact...
No. StraightSpouse.org.
Sure. No problem at all. Well, Amity, I want to thank you again for being on the show today, and we will see you again in 2 weeks from today.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
So from everybody at CMC Radio, this is Rob May saying goodnight, and we'll talk to you soon.